Good morning. I've come to really speak to you about celebration, grace, and no fear. On your notice sheet, that's the heading. It could also be headed births and weddings. Today, we shared in a celebration. I love a celebration, whether it's a wedding, a birth, a baptism, a birthday. I love times when friends and family get together, times full of laughter, times joyful occasions. I like it when, you know, Uncle Fred goes a bit silly and says silly things, and when Auntie Frances has one too many glasses of sparkling wine. But most of all, what I love is the opportunity to share special occasions with those people that I love and to join with them in that. And today, as I said, is a time of celebration of the baptism of Blake. And we welcome him into the church family. And I'm really thankful that I can share that with Blake and his family. I've known Liz a little while, and I chose the reading about the angels and the shepherds because I knew Liz, and we shared in a course that was around that, and I know it means something to her, or certainly did then. And I'm sure when Blake was born, this was a time of celebration for Johnny and Liz. The birth of a new baby is always a time of great celebration. Another celebration was the day that Liz and Johnny got married. Liz looked beautiful. She wore a beautiful gown. Johnny looked very smart and handsome in his suit. And that was a celebration that I know many of you will have enjoyed. I don't know whether you remember this, and I've got a picture to show you. I don't know whether you can see that. It's a Russian tank that was outside the registry office as they were getting married. The groom, who was getting married after them, was brought to the registry office in the tank. So it wasn't there to make sure Johnny got married and went through with it. It wasn't there to make sure Liz went through with it, but it was that groom's mates marking the occasion and celebrating with him. They wanted to do something special. There wasn't a shotgun wedding, neither of them. As a church, at this time of year, it's a very special time of year, is Advent. And during Advent, we think about preparation for the celebration of Jesus' birth. And we also remember that we're awaiting the return of Jesus, both of which are very, very special occasions. One a birth, and one will be a wedding. Jesus' birth, as you know, is an occasion that we remember by marking with a celebration of Christmas. And Jesus' return is an occasion that Christians look forward to, as it's when we become the brides of Christ. And this is not just the girls, it's the blokes as well. It sounds a bit strange, blokes being the bride, but as the church together, as Christians together, we become Jesus' bride. Now I'm going to expand on that a little bit. Our first reading is from Luke chapter 2, and this is about a celebration. It's the shepherds, it's the angels appearing to the shepherds. And it's a celebration that took place when Jesus was born. Luke records what the angels said to the shepherds as they burst out into the earth's atmosphere. The angels said that the birth of Jesus was good news of great joy, and it was for all people. So although a birth is always a celebration, and Blake's birth was a time for celebration, the birth of Jesus was something special. It was good news of great joy for everybody, not just his little family, not just Mary and Joseph, not just some shepherds that were watching their sheep. They must have been petrified. And when those angels appeared. But the angels were far more able to understand the awesomeness of Jesus' birth than we are. They had come from the splendor of heaven and understood that God himself was visiting earth in human form and had been born a baby, helpless like any other baby. They knew it was a very special occasion, and that they needed to mark it in a very special way. So Christmas time is a time of celebrating Jesus' birthday, and that is good news for all of us. Now, our second reading also talks about a celebration. Our second reading is a letter from a guy called Paul to the Christians in Philippi. Now, Paul was one of the first Christians who went out and told the people of Europe about Jesus and what Jesus had done. And he's writing this letter to the Christians in Philippi. The part that we heard read begins with, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." Paul says, "I thank God every time I remember you," or "I pray with joy." He is celebrating, he's celebrating. But why? Why was the birth of Jesus so special for angels to burst onto the earth? And why was it so special for Paul to write to tell the Christians of Philippi that he's so thankful that they follow Jesus and he's filled with joy? The angels tell us, as I said, the news is for all people. They also tell us that the baby is a saviour. And Paul tells us in verse 7, he was thankful and joyful because they shared in God's grace. Verse 7, it says, "It is right for me to feel this way." So it's right for him to feel joyful. It's right, since all of you sharing God's grace with me. He's writing to the Christians saying, "I'm happy, I'm joyful, I pray with joy and thanksgiving because you share in this grace." So Paul's celebrating God's gift of grace. So what's grace? It's not a word we use often in our language today. Wikipedia says, generally, grace means the blessings that come from above, regardless of merit. Other people say it's God's riches at Christ's expense. There's a children's song with the line, "Grace is when God gives us what we don't deserve." And Pastor Rick Warren says, "Grace is when God gives you what you need and not what you deserve." It's God saying, "I'm going to take your problem and make it my problem." So what is our problem that God makes his problem? And what are his riches we don't deserve? And why don't we deserve them? Well, that last reading gives us a bit of a clue. In Malachi 2 and verse 17 and Malachi 3 and verse 5, it describes two reasons why we need grace. Our problem that God makes his problem. One is our attitude and the other is our actions. Malachi 2:17 talks about attitude. It says, and this is before Jesus came, the prophet is saying these things, "You have wearied God with your words. How have you wearied him, you ask? By saying, 'All who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord.' And he's pleased with them. And where is the God of justice?" Well, I want to tell you right now, all who do evil are not good in the eyes of the Lord. That would be perverse, wouldn't it? How could us doing evil be good in God's eyes? If your attitude is, "Well, it feels good, so it's okay," whether it's good or not, then that doesn't please God. And then in verse 5, it talks about our actions, or the actions of the people at the time, that God will put on trial. And those things are things that people do today, just apply equally to us in our society today, as they did then. Malachi describes actions. Some of the actions God will judge us for: sorcery, adultery, perjury, those who defraud their labourers of their wages, those who oppress the widows and the fatherless, and those who deprive foreigners among you of justice. You might say, "I don't do these things." You might say, "I don't believe all who do evil are good." I challenge you about that. in our society today. We can't but help it. We can't but help oppress the poor. In our Western culture, we do it as a matter of course without even knowing. We only have to buy clothes from our supermarkets, chocolate, pretty much all chocolate, except the ones with the labels that say it's fairly traded, are produced because people are oppressed. So we, inadvertently, are oppressing the poor and the fatherless and the widows. We don't have to do things like adultery to be people that God will judge. We just have to be the ones that actually don't say, that's wrong. I want to make a stand against that. It's about our attitude, having an attitude that says, I don't need God, I'm okay, on my own, separates us from God. We all have habits, hurts and hang-ups that mess up our lives, that mean we don't deserve what God wants to give us. And those things separate us from God. The Bible calls this stuff sin and tells us that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sounds pretty scary, really. Talk about judgment, talk about sin, talk about that we've all done it. Malachi states that God says he will judge. But at the end of that, he says, do not fear me. If we are judged and found guilty, yes, we deserve to be punished. But because God loves us so much, so very much, the reason God's own son was born was so we could take that punishment instead. Jesus is the gift that we don't deserve. His attitude was not one that oppressed the poor or dishonoured God. He was without sin. His attitude and his actions were perfect. The birth that the angels celebrated resulted in an opportunity for the salvation of the human race, because God gave us his son to die for us, to take our punishment. I wonder how much God really loves us to send his son. I wonder who you love so much you would die for, or who you love so much that you'd allow your child to die for. Jesus was without sin. He hadn't got a sinful attitude. He hadn't done any of that sinful stuff I talked to you about. But he died for you. He was taking the punishment for me and for you. He took our sin on the cross. But that's not the end. By the grace of God, Jesus did that for us. God gave us a gift of Jesus. But that's not the end. He died so that we can have life with him. He died a criminal's death because he loves us. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. Death couldn't hold him. And Jesus invites us to make a decision to live for him, to partner with him, by sharing our lives with him, by accepting the gift of his love that he offers. I said earlier that during Advent, we look forward to the time when Jesus will return. The Bible teaches us that Jesus will return and we Christians will be his bride. He doesn't use fear tactics or a shotgun or a tank to make us his bride. He invites us. He gives us a choice. He invites us to enter into relationship with him. And we can do that freely, without fear. God says he will judge the sorcerers, the adulterers, the perjurers, those who oppress the widows. But he also says, do not fear. We do not need to fear God's judgment because of what Jesus did for us. Jesus came to earth to conquer death so that the gap in our lives that we fill with all the bad stuff, all the hurtful stuff, can be filled with his love. If we accept Jesus' invitation, then we do so freely, without fear. And as soon as we freely accept that invitation, we are saved. God gives us that grace. You might say, but Bex, if I accept Jesus, I'll have to change. And yeah, you'll have to change. But don't worry, God will be with you. He sends his Holy Spirit to be with you. He helps you in every step of the way. Malachi, God says, do not fear. The angel said to the shepherds, do not fear. And in fact, we learned earlier this week that the Bible tells us 365 times not to fear. So one, do not fear for every day of the year. I think that's fantastic. So although we are judged as sinners, we are saved by God's amazing grace. Now, like any good marriage, Jesus, our bridegroom, doesn't force himself into our lives. He invites us to live for him. He gives us the choice. Just as Liz and Johnny both freely chose to enter into their relationship, Jesus gives us the choice to accept that gift of grace or not. Doesn't mean we have to have our lives all sorted out from this moment onwards. So when you say to me, Bex, I've got to change. Yes, you have to change. You have to make that first step. Give my life to Jesus. Say, I don't want to live this way. I'm sorry. Relationships need work. Kevin and I have been married nearly 20 years. And anyone who knows us well enough will know it hasn't been a pleasure cruise. We've hit a few storms along the way. And a few rocks as well. We didn't start out with it all sorted. I wouldn't say we've still got it sorted now. But we've learned along the way and are still learning how to live with each other, how to support each other. He's laughing at the back. How to love each other. It's going to make my voice go like a chipmunk or something. Sorry, he's on the PA. But even in the storms, we're still married. And that's what I'm saying to you today. Accept God's gift of grace today. You're still saved. Even in the storms, even when we mess up, even when our attitude goes back to perhaps how it has been, God is with us. His Holy Spirit works in us. It brings me to the final part of, and it's a whole new, another talk really, so I'm just going to touch on it really. For those people that have really accepted Jesus already into their lives, God refines us along the way. And as he refines us, he changes us. He changes our attitude. As we learn to become together as his church, the bride of Christ, we bring offerings of righteousness. Malachi 3, scripture tells us God will refine us. But then it says, then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings of righteousness, and the offerings will be acceptable to the Lord. And Paul says to the church in Philippians, and this is my prayer, that as you grow, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth and insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. The day of Christ is when Jesus comes back. Not now. We don't have to be pure and blameless. Jesus has made us pure and blameless. We have to keep walking with him. Filled with the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of God working in us, living in our lives, the fruit of righteousness, so we can make the offering of righteousness that the prophet talked about in the Old Testament, that comes through Jesus Christ, through his grace, to the glory and praise of God. So, through Jesus' sacrifice for us, we can be judged pure and blameless as we journey with him. And my prayer is, with Paul, that your love may abound more and more in the knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day when Jesus comes to take you as his bride. So that'll be another celebration for those of you that accept the invitation. So then, Jesus returns. I can celebrate again with you and with Blake, with Liz and with Johnny, as we all become the bride of Christ. So I ask you today, where are you in your walk with God? Have you accepted Jesus' invitation of grace? If not, I invite you to accept it today. Did you accept the invitation sometime in the past, but maybe drifted away? If so, I invite you to renew that acceptance. I invite you to accept it again today. Or are you fearful of living for Jesus? Do you want to know his peace? I invite you to ask God to bind up your fear. And I'd like anybody that wishes to, just to pray this prayer with me. You can stand, you can sit. God knows your heart. I'm going to ask Pete to put a prayer up on the screen. We can just say this together. Dear God, thank you for creating me and choosing me to be a part of your family. I want to welcome you today, right now, in my life. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, so I could get to know you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for being with me all my life, even when I didn't know it. I realize I need you to set me free from my sin, from myself, and from all the hurts and hang-ups that mess up my life. I want to say sorry for all the stuff I've done wrong. I ask you to forgive me. I want to live the way you created me to live. I want you, Jesus, to be the Lord of my life. I want to learn to love you more, trust you more, and become what you made me to be. Fill me with your peace. Bind up any fear I have about living for you. In Jesus. Amen. And I put, let it be so. I agree, absolutely. Because some of us don't know what amen means. And that's what it means. It says, let it be so. I agree with that, absolutely. And I just ask if anybody said that prayer for the first time to perhaps come and talk to me or Ian afterwards. Or if anybody is fearful to do the same. Or if anybody said, well, actually, I'd walked away and I want to step back. Come and talk to us. We'd be more than happy to share with you and to help you to celebrate.